Welcome to the Atma Podcast. It's your boy Lozzie with a solo one today. So, basically, not all of us were free for the Thursday, so I've decided to do a pre-recorded one late at night. Just because I thought to myself, well, I've got a bit of energy flying around. Let's do a solo one. Today we're going to be talking about extreme sports. Oh, some of these probably aren't sports, but we're going to discuss them. And when I say we're going to discuss them, I'm going to be talking about them. Just chatting shit. So sit back, relax. If you're looking for a intense discussion on some of the craziest sports in the world, this is the right pod for you. There are some really weird ones in this, obviously. For them to be extreme, that is like one of the cornerstones it has to hit, is it has to be weird. But yeah, keep myself fueled with not water today. Well, it has got water in it, but it's a Fanta lemon, just because it's in the fridge next to me. And I forgot to bring a water up. I know, first world problems. Let's get a bit of ASMR in it. Oh, that's crisp. That's crisp. That's naughty. I do like a Fanta lemon. If you are a fan of the channel and been watching us for a while, you already know that. So let's get a bit of a... That's almost like an advert, that in itself, honestly. But yeah, I hope everyone's well. Hope wherever you're listening or watching from, hope your day's going well. I do want everyone to be just happy, really. And I hope this podcast contributes to that in any way, or just a little bit, just a little bit. Look, when we think extreme sports, what do we think of? Do we think of like base jumping, paragliding, cave diving? That's mental. There's a few on this list that you would naturally think of, but I've tried to go out of my way to pick ones that I'm not too, knowledgeable of. And some of them I've never actually heard of before. So I think we'll kick off the list with a sport that is, I want to say kind of just came out of nowhere, in my opinion. I didn't hear anything about this before. I don't understand how it's a sport. If I'm 100% honest with you, I don't understand how it's a sport. But we're here. Some people don't think darts is a sport. Some people don't think snook is a sport. And I get it. There's like limited physical output, but there's still technique. There's still, you've got to have like knowledge of the game. This next sport is, in my mind, purely just animalistic. It's just weird. Now, I will just point out, before we get into them, ideally, this is for the viewers, obviously, for the audio listeners, you won't have this facility because you'll be listening to it, but I was planning on showing you clips of all the sports that I have listed on this list. But when I thought about it on reflection before going to do this podcast, I thought, well, I'd probably best not to, actually, because the amount of times we've showed clips of stuff just to give people a better understanding other than describing what we're seeing, sometimes we just get claimed for using like 10 seconds of a video. So I thought best not. I'll do my best to describe it. But I have got some pictures of the sports just to give people, the viewers, maybe a better picture, for lack of a better word. I do apologise. Viewers, that's for you. Audio listeners, unfortunately, you're just going to have to deal with my probably absolutely shite description of the picture and the sport itself. But, you know, it's part of the fun is you're trying to decipher what the fuck I'm talking about anyway. There's a lot of people who listen to this podcast, I'm sure, who have fucking no idea what is going on at any point in time during a podcast. So I feel like it keeps you alert, keeps you on your toes, and, you know, it makes you a better detective, if anything. So, look, just calm down. I'll do my best to describe it, all right? I will do my best. So the first one, I'm just going to pop this on the screen for the viewers again. Look, I do apologise for the audio listeners, but you choose to, you know, consume the content how you choose to consume it. And I ain't one to tell you how to do that, so, but you do have to live with the consequences of your choices. That's all I'm saying. Let me share this screen. Right, the first one I want to talk about is called face slapping. Not happy slapping, even though that may have been the precursor to the official event of face slapping, or the face slapping championship. I don't know what it's officially called. I'll have it on this kind of list of things in front of me, information about it, I'm sure, what the official term is. But yeah, this is face slapping. Now, I don't really feel like I need to describe this one, but just for consistency, I will. It's a burly dude slapping another burly dude. I will point out this brand of face slapping. I don't know if this is like the only version of it, but the only version I've seen is you basically get two dudes who could probably punch through an entire village with like four swings. King Kong of men, right? Just get a couple of them, get them to stand either side of a podium and twat each other in the face. That's, to me, that's face slapping. And may I just add, right, you do not defend yourself against these slaps. You take it in turns to slap each other until one of you has a brain hemorrhage and dies on the floor. That's it. I must admit, I'm not an avid viewer. I don't personally get how this is a sport that you sit there and go, this is for me. The kind of people who like face slapping, like watching it and invested in it, are the same people who only watch like Formula One to see a crash or a fireball, you know, just like see the entire field of cars in a pileup. That's what it seems like, the kind of personality you need to be able to enjoy this. But yeah, you stand either side of a podium and you twat each other until one of them dies. So that's the first extreme sport. Do we call it a sport? It is actually, like, when you think about it, it's, like, I get boxing, I get MMA, I get like Thai boxing. Those sports, because there's an element of attack and defense, and like counterattacking, and like the technique, you need to have all those skills to be successful. You need to have all those to be successful and to win, usually. But with face slapping, you just need to be the first guy out of the gate. Right, this is another question I have. How do they decide who slaps first? Because surely whoever slaps first, there's a good chance that you're going to win. And I don't know like how well I can put this across to people who are listening. The viewers will have a slightly better idea, because I'll describe this picture to you, right? A guy is slapping another man in the face, legally, for money. The guy receiving the slap is holding onto a podium with one hand and has obviously had his neck contorted by the slap. The photographer's done a great job here by taking the shot mid-slap. But I can't tell you how undefended, if that is a word, how undefended this bloke who's getting slapped, like his stance is, I accept the slap. I will accept the chance that I'm going to die. Let's go. Is that sport? Is that exciting? I mean, if you get picked to slap first and you don't knock him out, you're like, ah, shit. Like, you need to get a good, firm palm on him the first time. Because if you're going first, you know you're... If they're going to have anything about them, they're going to give it back, like, with everything they got. Because you've just adjusted their cranium and probably, you know, probably given them Alzheimer's with a slap, in all honesty. So, yeah. Is it a sport? Let us know down in the comments. Face slapping two men of any size take turns slapping the senses out of each other until one taps out or gets floored. I don't understand how you can tap out. You can't. I guess you could take one slap, but not fall on the ground and not get knocked out and say, yeah, I'm done, mate. But you wouldn't know because you know you've got the next slap. You can get him back. Knockouts come fast and furious. Yes, they do. The four clips that I've watched of face slapping, none of the people getting slapped have replied with a slap because they're dead. Deceased. No longer with us. The winner of the 2019 Male Slapping Championship at the Siberian Power Show in Russia, surprise, surprise, was Vasily Pelman, who was 370 pounds, nicknamed Dumpling. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if that is him in the image. I won't say it is, because I don't know. But 370 pounds, man, nicknamed Dumpling. Do you know what the astonishing thing is about this, right? In 2019, that isn't too far away, pre-COVID. Those were the days. 370 pound man, nicknamed Dumpling, slapped the fuck out of another man. And probably many, many other men to win the male slapping championship. I don't know how many rounds you have to go through. Maybe you got picked first every time. Don't know. But he got 30,000 Russian rubles for winning. I'll let you just have a second to think to yourself, how much money is that in equivalent to dollars or pounds? I'll just let you have that moment to just think to yourself, wow, 30,000 rubles, is that like 30 grand? Is that like 300 grand? Is that like 10 grand? Is it like 1,000? What is it? It's $470. $470 to have, I would say, at least a 35% chance of brain hemorrhage throughout the championship, and to have about 4 to 5 murders on your charge sheet. $470 prize money for the winner. He won. He didn't lose. He didn't get out. He didn't get knocked out in the first round. This guy won and got $470 for his efforts. I don't know. I know face slapping, or there's like a, what is it, like power slap or slap league. I can't remember what it's called. The guy who owns UFC has got into face slapping and made it, I would expect the prize money to be a lot more now. But as far as I could tell, the original face slapping championship is no real different to the updated model now, as far as I can tell. Anyone who's into face slapping, please get in touch and tell me how much of an uncultured swine I am for not liking face slapping. I just don't see the appeal in it. You're literally watching someone get twatted and then dying and then sending out the next conveyor belt, you know, brick shithouse who might stand a chance to slap back. I don't know. But yeah, that's face slapping. Extreme sport. Or crazy. I can't remember what I called this episode now. Is it crazy extreme sports? The craziest extreme sports in the world? I don't know. It's all right. The Fanta Lemon will get me going. Now, this next one, we have actually talked about before on the channel. Ironically, this was the one of the videos or the clips I was referencing in that start bit where we got copyright struck for using probably about 20 to 30 seconds of video footage from cheese rolling. Now, I will say we did transform it. We spoke over it. There wasn't any original audio from the video that I used. We all spoke over it. We picked different parts to play. I skipped through it, skipped back. I just want to show off cheese rolling. I think it's a funny sport, if you can call it a sport. It's pastime, sport, whatever. But anyway, here's cheese rolling for the viewers. Again, not really sure how I can describe it, other than everyone starts at the top of a massive steep hill. They lob a wheel of cheese down the hill and they chase it. Apparently it's a 7 to 9 pound round of double Gloucester cheese. And it can reach speeds of 70 miles an hour when it's rolled down Cooper's Hill near Gloucester. 70 miles an hour. I'm telling you, if that hits anyone down at the bottom of the hill, because they do have people to try and, because the hill's so steep, they have people at the bottom to stop the people chasing the cheese basically rolling on forever. So they're there to, like, stop people just continuing to tumble and, you know, probably break every possible body part and bone there is. But, yeah, imagine if that wheel of cheese is going 70 miles an hour and hits one of those people at the bottom. That would be probably worse than a car tyre hitting you at that speed. Just getting pulverized by a wheel of cheese. It's not the way to go, is it? It's not the way to go. The exact origin of cheese rolling is unclear, but the annual event at the end of May used to be just for locals. Now people come from all over the world to compete for glory during the Cooper's Hill cheese rolling and wake. Like any good sports person, keep your eye on the cheese. It's been known to injure some unfortunate souls. I would fucking say so. 70 miles an hour? I'm surprised it's not taking off heads left, right and centre. I wonder how many people have been decapitated by cheese. That's a good question. But yeah, as you can see from the picture, it is pretty self-explanatory. You toss a wheel of cheese down a steep hill and then you fall arse over tit for an eternity until you reach the bottom to see that you've not caught the cheese. That's basically it. It's quite a funny extreme sport. One, because the prize is the cheese. You win the cheese. If you catch the cheese, you win it. And it's like the trophy as well. So they're saving mad money on, like, the ceremony part of the championship. I call it a championship of the event. What you're chasing is literally the trophy. And they lob the trophy down the hill and you have to chase it. And if you catch it, you get to lift it. You're the winner. but also just the amount of carnage and damage it must cause to your body to run down a hill so steep that I would say, for the audio listeners, there is 9 people in the picture who are chasing the cheese. I would say maximum 3 are on their feet. The rest are in the process of dying or on their ass, rolling down the hill, just seeing like sky, grass, sky, grass, sky, grass. Just that rinse, repeat until they get to the bottom and unfortunately are in a coma. Maybe that's the point of these extreme sports. The risk, obviously, you dying or having serious injury almost propels the sport to a new level of where people have just utmost respect for it. I mean, personally, cheese rolling for myself would be up there more than face slapping, because I think it's just a better event. I mean, is there skill? You could argue there's not really a lot of skill in cheese rolling. But it's definitely more, I would say, engaging to watch. But yeah, cheese rolling. It's just such a weird fucking... I mean, it obviously was created a long time ago. You can tell, because... I fail to believe... I mean, imagine if, like, a millennial or Gen Z created this game. It would have been, right, we need to do it on semi-flat ground, okay? And we need to let everyone in the wheelchairs go first. And then we all share the cheese at the end. Thank you. Like, that's, you know, there's no winners. Everyone's a winner because you take part. You know, all that sort of shit. That started to creep into when I was going to school. I'm showing my age here. But I'm 30 now. And that started to creep in. And like, end of middle school, going into high school, people who are like Gen Zers will be, what did you just say? Middle school? Ugh. Brother, ugh. Do you know what I mean? It's just happened, all right? We had middle schools, we had high schools, and we had like reception and first school. Do you know what I mean? It was simple. You progress through. None of this like first school into secondary school. None of that. There was a middle school for my age. Anyway, enough of that. But yeah, this couldn't have been made by Gen Z or millennial. I'm a millennial. There's no way we would have made this. So yeah, it was going to be a time before basically any level of care for humans on any level. Just went, right, what can we do to amuse ourselves? Ah, yes, we will get the peasants to run after food that they cannot afford nor have the capability of making themselves. Yes, roll the cheese down the hill and watch them kill themselves trying to fucking get the food. I think there's a good chance that's how it started. But anyway, that's cheese rolling. Like I said, we have gone over it before. But yeah, this next one, you will have to just bear with me for the pronunciation of this. It's called Botaushi or Botaushi. I'm going to call it Botaushi or Botaushi. I said the same thing about 7 times. Look, I'll put a picture of it on screen just to give you a better idea. This is Botaushi. That's what I'm calling it. I'm sticking to it. I'm going to zoom in so people can actually see what's going on. So this is basically a massive team sport, and it does look quite fun and funny at the same time. So basically you've got to bring down the pole. There's a person on top of the pole. You have attackers and defenders. The attackers in this picture are red and the defenders are white. they're wearing white. That's not their skin colour. Let's not go into a racial thing, all right? Just calm down. All right, you got to bring the pole down. That's the rough translation of Botaoshi, the game invented by the Japanese military as a training exercise. Now, the game, which combines rugby, wrestling, sumo, and NFL football, is played at the National Defense Academy of Japan, where students are shaped into officers. This capture the flag variation may look like unorganized chaos with 300 players squaring off on a field. But there's a method to the madness in the quest to lower a 12-foot, 8-inch wooden pole to a 30-degree angle. So, basically, you have the attackers trying to topple the pole with one of the defenders on top of it. And the defenders kind of like barricade themselves by building some sort of tower to defend the pole in front of it and surround it. And within that, you just have a rain of fists, kicks, like suplexes, getting people in headlocks, you know, fucking Walls of Jericho. Everything is on the table here. Like, you're just literally twatting other people to move them out of the way and get to the pole. It takes coordination. It takes a lot of effort. I can imagine being gassed out after about 20 seconds doing this. But the thing about this sport is the size of the fucking teams. There's 150 people on each team. Fucking hell. 150 people just swinging for the fucking hills until the pole is defended or it is toppled. That's crazy. That is crazy. The thumbnail and the title are so relevant to this sport. I would love to give it a go. I mean, in the picture, just for like, if people do have safety concerns, they are wearing head guards. They're all wearing head guards. That's the only guards they are wearing. So if they get kicked in the throat or punched in the dick, that's sayonara. Which is good because I'm pretty sure sayonara is Japanese. International. Language expert. You don't get much better than that. So then when someone in the comments says, actually, that's Korean. Fuck. Anyway, that's Botaoshi. And I'm sticking to that, Botaoshi. 100%. I'm not moving on that. It combines rugby, wrestling, sumo, and NFL football. Don't really get the NFL football, I guess. Maybe they can, like, throw each other around, but then wrestling and sumo would have covered that. Maybe it's because they wear protective headgear. That's it, though. Don't see the similarity. There's no ball involved. I suppose you could argue rugby's not really... But rugby's a more, like, physical, moving people out of the way sport. I guess no NFL really, isn't it? Because you kind of block a path for the attackers to get to the ball. I don't know what I'm talking about. Just make your own decision up. Fuck it. That's Botaoshi, everyone. Looks like a lot of fun, actually, for about 20 seconds until you completely gash yourself out. All right, this next one. I didn't actually know this existed until, you know, reading a couple of articles for this episode. But this one is kind of taking a mundane task and just doing it somewhere that you probably have never seen it done before. You know, so, I don't know, like hand washing something whilst being... It's like hand washing something whilst being catapulted at a wall. You know what I mean? Somewhere you wouldn't naturally do it, and there's no chance of you even completed the task correctly, to be honest. This next one is called extreme ironing. Now, what's strange about this is that I don't even really know. I don't even understand how this has come around. This must be like a really, really drunken conversation. It's like, oh, mate, this would be quality as a sport, right? Take something that a lot of us do pretty much every day and just do it somewhere where it'd be incredibly difficult and for no reason at all, film it. It's a good idea. Yeah, so extreme ironing has become part performance art and part adventure as people seek crazy places and ways to press their shirts. I mean, full disclosure, I don't do ironing. I'm not like one of these, oh, I don't do ironing because I'm a fucking bloke. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking geezer. I just don't do ironing. So I like creases in my clothes. Fuck you. You want your clothes just all perfect? Get real. You're not perfect. You're real. Have some creases in your clothes. Let people know you're not a fucking robot, all right? Jesus. The unique fad started when an Englishman, inspired by his eccentric brother who ironed clothes on camping trips, started ironing in bizarre places like an airport and on top of a telephone booth. Okay, and mountaintops. Jesus, he went on a mountaintop. What started as a stunt gained mass appeal with a documentary that showed the first extreme ironing world championship. There is a championship for this sport. Now, extreme ironing has spawned other extreme activities, such as extreme cello playing. I've not seen that. I mean, yeah, it is basically taking a task that has no place in being completed in some of these places that they try and do it in, and then just make it a sport. How is it adjudicated? That's the question I want to know. Like, is it, for example, the picture that I've put on screen for the audio listeners is three people skydiving with a small ironing board, some clothing attached to the ironing board with an iron, ironing some clothes. That is it. So how do you win at that championship? Do you have to have the clothes, like, looked at? And so, like, all right, this is crease-free. There's not a lot of moisture on the garment. Well done. Do you get people who leave the iron on the same patch for too long and it leaves, like, a burn mark? That's marks off, I'm afraid. Ugh. Do you get people who die? Like, literally, they're concentrated so much on getting the perfect ironing performance, but then forget to pull the shoe at the last minute. Yeah, the judge walks up and is like, I'm going to have to mark you down. There's some blood splatter on this T-shirt. But our teammate died. He gave his life for this sport. It's like, well, he also got some blood on the garment. He's scoring a 2 out of 10. And I'm giving him a 2 because 2 of you survived. And do you know what I mean? It's like, how is that adjudicated? That is, and if you are a judge in that, what expertise do you need other than knowing how to iron? That's a strange one. Again, I feel like just sports and ironing kind of come together here. Just doing something that's very mundane, but doing it somewhere that makes it not mundane. It's now a sport, so it is what it is. As you know what I mean? I do apologise, it's just the Fanta lemon is making me a bit gassy, do you know what I mean? Look, just chill out, alright? That's extreme ironing. This next one I've seen a little bit about, and if I'm honest, I don't fully understand it. It's just like you think to yourself, when this was originally put forward as a pastime or as something to do, you just can't help but think, like, there must have been so little to do that this was even a thought process in someone's mind. This next one is shin kicking. Yeah, that's right. You heard right. It's shin kicking. It's been around for a long time. Apparently, it is a martial art. I don't know if that's completely true. But yeah, you win by kicking your opponent in the right place. If you learn the proper technique, you could become a master in the way of shin kicking. It's been around for a long time. They put, it says here that you put on soft shoes. Or in this picture, those shoes are not fucking soft. They're just normal, regular ass shoes. I mean, the guy who's getting kicked in the shin in this picture is wearing fucking what look like Timberlands. If you kick someone in the shin with them, right, and you catch them with like the sole of the shoe, I am telling you, that is a clean break. And nothing else. There's no way you're not breaking their legs. With enough training, you might even be good enough to battle in the annual World Shin Kicking Championships at the Cotswold Olympic Games, which draws thousands of spectators. There you go. So if you have a keen enjoyment, a keen... I don't know, just if it tickles your fancy to twat other people in the legs and possibly break their legs, this is the sport for you. Before people ask, do they wear any sort of protection? Yes, they do. They put hay down their shins and around their shins, like underneath like a pair of jeans or trousers. That's the protection you get. So... don't say there's no health and safety in this sport. There's more health and safety in this sport that was probably created in like 45 BC. There's more in health and safety in this sport than face slapping, which was created probably way after that. But to be fair, there's probably been people just slapping each other for fun for fucking donkey's years, so maybe it originated from the same place. Maybe they took some inspiration. Oh, you know, like fucking Dave and Greg have been kicking the shit out of each other's shins for like fucking 20 minutes outside, right? I'm not saying they all had Cockney accents back then. Just don't worry about the time period. Just forget it. Right. Do you reckon, mate, if we like slapped each other in the face, that'd be all right, like, you know what I mean? Do you reckon that draw the crowds in as much as people kicking the shit out of each other's shins? Do you reckon? Nah, all right, let's give it a go. I reckon that would have originated at the same time, to be fair. I can't say this one appeals to me, shin kicking. I mean, the ref, and I'm assuming this the ref, I mean, why he's holding a massive stick, I don't know. Maybe if, like, a couple of them get too into it, he twats them with a stick to keep them under control. I don't know. Again, if you are a connoisseur of shin kicking, you've been involved with shin kicking, or you understand the sport, let us know. Let us know in the comments what is the true way of shin kicking. Oh, that fat lemon is delicious. Right. I don't know why I sound like such a fucking nonce when saying that, but there we go. That's shin kicking. Next one. Got a few more to cover. This one's actually kind of genius in a very simple way. This is called Gostra. That's what you're getting. I won't say it as many times as I tried to say Botaushi. Gostra. In the tournament known as Gostra to the Maltese, a 16-metre pole is covered by 15 litres of lard and fixed at an angle from the promenade into the sea. Competitors try to grab three flags at its end. That's how you win. Now, I have seen video clips of this, and it is quite funny to watch. Because you think about it, I mean, trying to run up that without having grease or lard applied to the wood that you're trying to run up is still massively difficult. But to do that when you have zero grip and have to travel 16 meters in length, I'm not really sure if it's attainable. I don't actually know if anyone wins. I've not seen someone grab the flags, or all of them at least. So you've got three flags in total. There's one, like, I'd say 75% of the way up, and then the other ones are literally right at the end. Like, you have to be an absolute fucking don to get all three. But it is quite funny. If you are, you know, interested, I would definitely type in to YouTube, just put Gostra, and you will see people just absolutely twatting it off this pole on the edge of a promenade, just falling aimlessly into the sea. But apparently it draws quite a crowd. There's a lot of people that try and attempt this. And it's one of those sports that's kind of like a tradition, pastime, and made into a kind of sport event. They're trying their best to make it a sport, but it's really just a tradition, isn't it? It's not like this is on every week. This is like a once a year thing that people turn up for. But yeah, it is funny. It is funny. And just the thought of having to run up a cylinder, a long, long ass cylinder, barefoot, by the way. You don't use shoes. You're not allowed to wear footwear. You have to do it barefoot. So it's just not, grappling, is it? You know? I mean, I don't know what, again, I'm guessing you probably don't get anything for getting the flags, because it's like a tradition thing, you just get bragging rights. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think of that one? Definitely watch it, though. Give it a watch. This next one is really just taking a sport that already exists and just doing it with a different body part. That's what this next one is. There's no two ways about it. It's now, I will just put a disclaimer out here, a little bit of a trigger warning. I'm not going woke. I'm just saying that some people don't like feet. All right? So if you don't like feet, just scrub through the video a little bit, or just don't listen. Oh, don't listen. Don't look anymore for a bit. This one is toe wrestling. Self-explanatory. It does. I'm not like opposed. Like the sight of feet doesn't really garner any need for me to be sick. But I don't know. Watching people interlock their toes and try to wrestle with their feet does make me a bit moist in the mouth. And that ain't a good thing. That's like the sort of feeling you get before you're about to, like, chunder. It's not a great looking sport. It's not a sport I'd be interested in. But yeah, apparently, this sport was created in 1974, the 70s. In the UK, it was invented, apparently tired of not having any world championships from the United Kingdom. They invented toe wrestling in 1974. I don't know if that means there wasn't any arm wrestling champions from the UK, or whether there wasn't any toe wrestling champions, but then that wouldn't make sense. Why would there be toe wrestling champions if the sport hadn't been made? Whatever. So it was made in 1974. One of the founders became the first champion and repeated champion. But then someone from Canada took his title And the sport dissolved. So he's like, it's like, right, I'm going to create this sport. I'm going to win it every year because I'm a fucking Don. And then someone from Canada comes and takes his crown and is like, right, that's it. The sport's over. Fucked it. Fucked it. But apparently it's making a comeback with the annual World Toe Wrestling Championship. One of the players, one of the most famous players in the toe wrestling world is called the Toe-minator. That really says enough about this sport. I mean, it's not doing much for me. The toes interlocking. Yeah. Imagine, like, the tricks that people try and play as well, like, don't wash their feet for about 6 months. And you just, they take their sock off, and you're like, oh, the man, a fucking cheddar on those fucking feet, mate. Yeah. Yeah, not the one for me. Fucking toe wrestling. Jesus Christ. This next one I'm about to talk about is genuinely fucked. Like, I don't understand why. I mean, I get why you do it. There's a thrill, obviously. But this is just fucking insane. Right, I'll pop the image on screen for the viewers, as usual. I'll do my best for the audio listeners to describe it. So this is volcano boarding / surfing. Yep, volcano boarding / surfing. So volcano boarding or volcano surfing is a sport performed on the slopes of a volcano. That is pretty self-explanatory. One of the most popular places for the activity is Cerro Negro near León in western Nicaragua. I think is how you pronounce that. Riders hike up the volcano and slide down, sitting or standing on a thin plywood or metal board. I just want to say that sentence again. Riders hike up the volcano and slide down, sitting or standing on a thin plywood or metal board. How thin are we talking here? That doesn't go into specifics. I feel like that's quite an important point. Because, let's face it, it's not like you're going down regular sand. You're going down a volcano. Surely you want a bit of a thicker bit of wood or metal? I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm just, you know, thinking that I'd rather go down on a thicker bit of wood rather than thinner. But anyway, the sport is also practiced in Indonesia and very few other locations. I'm guessing it's pretty much any volcanoes, really. Volcano boarding can be an extreme sport. What do you mean can be? It fucking is an extreme sport. Potential dangers include, this is great, this. Potential dangers include falling and getting cut by the rough volcanic ash, breathing poisonous gases, or contracting what is otherwise known as Carver's disease. What is that? Histoplasmosis. Okay, we're searching that. I'm searching that. Right, what is histoplasmosis? Histoplasmosis is a lung infection caused by breathing in histoplasma, a fungus that lives in the environment in certain parts of the United States and the world. Even though people living in or traveling to these areas regularly breathing the fungal spores, most of the time they do not get sick. So, yeah, that's histoplasmosis. There you go. You learn. You learn on this channel. You can't say you don't. So, yeah, you can get cut up by the volcanic ash. You can breathe in poisonous gases. Or you can get hit by flying molten lava. Amazing. So as you're flying down this volcano, there's a chance that the volcanic ash will cut you to smithereens. You may get what is known as histoplasmosis by breathing in poisonous gases, or you could be hit by flying molten lava. Also, I've just realised that by potentially getting hit by flying molten lava would indicate that they do this on active volcanoes, which is just screaming out for death, really, isn't it? Let's be honest. Protective gear, including jumpsuits and goggles, is often used. Don't think that's really going to help. Cerro Negro is also an active volcano, although the last eruption was in 1999. So it's literally an active volcano. The activity can reach high speeds, with rides typically lasting only a few minutes and reaching up to 43 miles an hour. The current record for volcano boarding speed is 54 miles an hour. So you're telling me you are literally yeeting down a volcano's... Well, I don't know how high they go up. They go right to the top where they can peer in and see basically into the pit of Mount Doom. Or, you know, they just go like 3/4 of the way up and come down. But anyway, you're still going over 40 miles an hour. If you come off, oh, fuck. If you come off and you're wearing any less than like 2 layers of protective clothing, you're getting fucked. You're getting absolutely just shanked by a volcano. I would like to point out for the audio listeners, and for the viewers if you've not noticed it, the guy in the photograph who's doing this, he is wearing shorts. He is wearing what look like trainers, and has a baseball cap on with what appears to be a pair of plastic goggles with no gloves. This guy is mental. No other way to put it. No other way. That is volcano boarding / surfing. Amazing. Is that a sport you would like to try? Definitely not me. I'm good, thank you. I'm good. His next couple at the end, just to finish off, are kind of like involve animals, because I feel like any sport that involves animals is just automatically, as a spectating thing, potentially great. Because often animals that are used in extreme sports are so ridiculously overpowered compared to humans in terms of like strength that it's just funny to watch humans just get absolutely fucking mangled by them. And when I say mangled, I don't mean like you see them get their head trampled on and it like split apart. But this next one, right? Bull rodeos or bull riding, whatever you want to call it. There's just something kind of therapeutic about watching someone believe they can ride a bull and stay on board for any amount of time without being thrown, you know, 25 meters into the air, coming down and breaking at least their collarbone, maybe rupturing their spleen. You know, it takes great belief, great courage, and dare I say it, fucking stupidity to think that you could get out of that unscathed. And it's just looking at this picture in front of me, it's a picture of a bull, and one of the there's two people in the image. One of them is, I'm guessing, the guy who has just failed to stay on the bull. He's off to the side, you know, his rodeo hat, or his hat. Is it a cowboy hat? I don't know what you call them. I ain't got the technical knowledge. But anyway, his hat is on the floor. But there is also a guy in midair. So that tells me that either that guy has gone over to help the person who fell off, and then the ball has just literally launched him in the air, which is funny to see. Pretty much any sport that involves a ball, you know there's going to be a good chance that someone's getting absolutely caned. Even if the ball run they do, which is just fucking mental. Like, you're literally encouraging a ball to chase you. A ball that probably has fucking no interest in wanting to be there. It's like, no, I did not sign up for this. But now all you twats are wearing bits of red around your fucking necks. I'm going for you. But yeah, it seems to be like anything with like a powerful animal in it. I just love seeing humans just getting launched. Just thinking that they have any chance of disciplining or being in control of an animal like that. It's just quite funny. Yeah, that's that's bull riding. And very briefly, this next one, it just makes me just, why would you even think about this in the first place as a good idea? Why? So this one, I don't even know if this is a sport. I don't know what it would be called if it was a sport. But it's like, I'll just say it's shark tank diving. You go down in a metal cage in an area where there are sharks. This looks like, I'm guessing, a great white shark. Why dip your toe in with like a small shark? Fuck it. Why don't you just go for one of the most famous examples of a killing machine? Well, just go for it. Fuck it. Yeah, so whoever has come up with this idea of this potential extreme sport of going down into the sea, into the ocean, where there are known to be dangerous sharks, you go in a cage and you just have to survive. You just go down there and observe them, I guess. It's not really a sport. It's more of like a hobby. Is it a hobby? Does it make sense that it's a hobby? I don't know. It just does. It makes no sense. And it's not, I don't understand how it's entertaining. Just being down there in a, I must say, this cage does not look that, like, sturdy or well made. No offense to anyone who made it, but it just looks like there's a bit of rust on it. You know, what about if the shark breaks through? You are fucked. There's no way you can tell me you're not fucked in that situation. It's just not a good time. It's just not a good time. And I don't understand why you'd be interested in that at all. Again, if you are an avid shark tank diver, let us know. I doubt you are. I don't understand who would be. But yeah, this is diving into the middle of the ocean in what looks like to be a semi-fragile cage. You're basically encouraging the shark to window shop. It's just like, right, I could eat that fucking morsel of fish that keeps swimming near me. Or I can have this twat in a cage. All I've got to figure out is how to get into the cage. That guy is going to last me, you know, a week at least if I eat him. That fish there. Couple of fish that'll last me a day. This guy is gonna get chomped. I just don't get it. Don't understand it. A part of me doesn't even understand, like, the want to see a shark up close. And that goes for pretty much any shark. Why go for a great white? Why? Like, it's just so far removed from safety. I know people say, yeah, you remove the safety barrier and it's like people get the rush, the adrenaline, whatever. So much effort to feel completely fucked and just, why? I don't know. But yeah, that is what I am calling shark cage diving. Now, shark cage fighting. Now, we've got a bit of an idea on our hands. Dana White hit me up. End this power slap shit. Get the fuck that. We're slapping the shit out of sharks now. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. But yeah, many, many other extreme sports I could have picked, or crazy sports. Just, there's a very long list of them, I'm sure. We'll probably cover them in another episode. I just like the idea of crazy sports, just because I like to get into the mind of people who, A, create them, 2, participate in them, and 3, who the fuck would be interested in watching half of these? Some of them I get, some of them I don't. Like the volcano boarding, why? Just, what, so you're telling me I can surf down the side of an active volcano at 43 miles an hour or above? I could possibly breathe in poisonous gases while doing so, or get cut up by the rough volcanic ash, or get hit by flying molten lava. Count me in, mate. Where's the fucking waiver form? I'll sign it. What the fuck? Want to thank Fanta Lemon for not sponsoring the pod, but getting me through it. And I also want to thank everyone watching and listening. I really appreciate you spending your time listening to me just waffle the fuck on about random shit. But yeah, I hope you're having a good time, good day, whatever you're doing and wherever you are. And I'll see you in the next one. Up the Atma. Bye-bye for now.